open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
And we're back.
Ooh.
And we're back. Episode 125 of the Pine Room Podcast. To my right, I have a guy by the name of Matthew Watson, Tyler Cools Cooley, and a guy by the name of Jubber Jub and the Funky Bunch, Del Brute.
Hello. Hello.
Greetings.
How's everybody doing tonight, fellas?
Good, Jeffrey.
A little worn out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, good.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Like, guys, long day of the radio?
Yeah. Yeah. But that long day, had a lot of guests today.
Yes,
talked to a lot of people. Matt does a gracious job at keeping those going and keeping conversations
flowing.
Yeah,
thank God for Matt.
Because a lot of stuff goes on the radio in 3 hours, and to keep that going is pretty.
I tell you what, people don't understand, and this just isn't with radio, but when you carry either, whether it's trying to be a radio personality or the fact of the matter, you have a job that you have to quote unquote be up and you have to be the motivator on how mentally fucking draining that is.
Yeah. No question about it.
There's no doubt about
it. I'd rather dig ditches sometimes.
You know what? And it's so true. And I know that the opposite side of the world probably make fun of us that are digging ditches and do blue collar work, which I respect those people to a T because I know that I'm not cut out for that day in and day out.
Digging in the crystal mines.
I mean, blue collar people and stuff like that, I respect the fuck out of them, but they need to respect the other side. I know that a lot of times people would talk about even when I worked in the hospital and they would say, no, all you got to do is work 3 12-hour shifts. So I don't understand why when you deal with fucking people all day and sick people and people whining and crying and you're dealing with families and they want everything, but your left testicle. I mean, it's a brutal, brutal thing. So.
Do you guys think that there's a major difference between mental fatigue and physical fatigue?
Because
to me, the body fatigue, the physical fatigue, I am all right with that at the end of the day. Like if I'm exhausted, I'm not saying I want to do it every day, but if you're working somewhere, you're doing a project, whatever, it's a different type of relaxation at the end of the night. Whereas the mental fatigue, my head hurts so bad, it's hard to relax.
Yeah, it's like you feel good after you do a run or a walk or a swim or whatever.
Get a good sweat.
You feel good, and even the next day when you're sore and you feel good,
it's somewhat rewarding.
But if your brain, right now, I just feel like my head has like extra water
right behind my eyes. Yeah. It's just like pressure.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know whether that's like. I don't know, because before radio, today I just came in and I had to deal with some issues with people who wanted changes of their promos for radio and just dealing with emails and sending people stuff and they don't get back. Like, that's frustrating. So I was in not a bad mood, but I was just kind of irritated when I went on the radio. And then within that, and you probably know exactly what within 30 seconds, you just have to turn the switch on and just be like, all right, here we go.
That part out, worry about it later.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's funny you say that, Jeff, because I was actually talking about this with somebody recently. I was like, I go on the radio for 3 hours. I drive all the way from Pittsburgh and drive back. And then we do the football games. And by the time I get home, I don't want to talk anymore. I'm all talked out. Mm-hmm. And it's such a different kind of tired. Like you said, I would much rather be physically tired where I could just go home, lay down and be good. But when you go home and you're mentally tired, there's nothing you can really do other than
you don't want to go out. You don't if you're physically tired, sometimes you'll go out and you'll be like, oh, I'm going to drink some beer tonight, or I'm going to, because you can still, I don't know what it is. There's just something in your brain that you're a little bit more, I don't know if it's because your muscles are all tired and tingly and you're that drinking a little bit merely makes you feel good. But man, sometimes it's really tough to want to be around humans, to want to watch TV, to want to go out, especially when you're mentally tired.
Because then I know that when I'm socialed out and I'm done talking, I don't want to be around people, I know that if I'm around people, the more chances I'm going to be looked at as I'm an asshole. Because
right.
You'll
seem miserable or tired or whatever.
It's not that I'm pissed that I'm there, or I just don't have it to be like the
Social battery just drains. Yeah, you're just done.
The woohoo, like, let's have a party, let's go. I just don't have it. But I mean, and sometimes you just have to remove yourself.
Put on a fake face.
Yeah, you just had to power through.
Just gotta do it,
just like the radio.
I think that with physical tiredness is the factor, more like you guys just got done explaining, you can take a nap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you're mentally exhausted, when your brain does not allow you to shut down and your mind just keeps on going, there is no break from it. And there's a lot of times you can't control it too. Mm-hmm. So I do think, and here's the deal, I think both sides are miserable. If you're physically tired, you're mentally tired. And I know that probably both sides of the coin don't understand each other, but I definitely think there should be a mutual respect between quote unquote disciplines, that just because we don't understand you or you don't understand us, there's still a tiredness side.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, without a doubt. But if you guys had, I'm sorry, Jobber.
No, I was just going to say the one thing that's really frustrating, if you're physically tired, I don't think there's a lot of mistakes that you can make if you're physically tired, because, I mean, other than not being able to like lift heavy things or like move quick. But I was here I think it was Thursday, and I was getting ready for Friday, getting all the bags and stuff prepped. And it was towards the end of the day, like maybe 5 or 6. And I just had been in here, and I just didn't want to. I was so over just being here because there's no windows. I don't talk to anybody, and I was just ready to leave. And I had to get the bags organized, and I kept fucking up. I kept putting things in the wrong bag. I kept I would zip a bag and I would forget something to put in the bag, and I just kept having to backtrack back and forth. And I think I was just so mentally done that I kept making mistakes, and then I was pissed, and Lola even came in and she was like, just, you got to get out of here.
There's no, do you guys know when your time is done? Because for me, I do. And when it's time, it's time. It's operation shutdown. Yeah. And you have to either go to sleep if you're even able to at the time, or you just got to check out of everything. Yeah. Put your phone away and just find something that you can just relax with a little bit. But do you know when you're done, Jeff? 100%, mentally, like totally toasted.
But also, I'm also a believer, because obviously we always complain about the sensitive people of the world and the soft people of the world. Like, I hate when people, it's always the same caliber of people that always talk about, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, and this and that. And that does wear me out a little bit. I mean, it's obviously the people that you know where it's justified. You're willing to sit there and, you know, swallow whatever they're trying to shove down your throat. But like that person that just always constantly talks about it, and you know they don't really got a lot, whatever the case might be, that's just kind of brutal to swallow too. But I think, once again, there just needs to be a common respect factor for people. But the question I had for you guys is, if, quote unquote, you had to either choose a, quote, stereotypical blue collar job, what would be something that you would be attractive to you, that you think that you could technically do day in and day out?
Are you talking like labor, like a floor work, waitressing,
I would probably go, because I don't want to downplay a waiter or waitress.
No, not at all.
Because here's the deal: they're on their feet, and their job, in my opinion, is probably physical and mental. They're trying to keep things going, and they're delivering a lot of stuff heavy. They're back and forth. But I guess if you were going to go the stereotypical blue collar job, a carpenter, a ditch digger, a mill worker,
like hard labor,
working like a mine,
all these bastards out on Main Street,
honestly,
back to waiter. And plus, imagine the people we got to deal with. Imagine at the end of the day, and all you want to do is go home. And
that would depend on where I was doing it at. And that job would.
Oh, God.
Because that's if you're in a high end restaurant or something, it's a little easier than dealing with people.
Yeah, well, if you're like in Denny's and a guy's pissed off because of the pancakes.
Hey, speaking of that, so we're gonna go back. But how about your Jimmy John's getting a shout out today?
We'll go back to that.
But actually,
you know what, Matt? I'm glad. Oh, go ahead.
It was for a good cause, but I looked at you. I knew it was for a good cause.
They donated all those cold things.
Yeah.
But let's go back to what you're saying.
It's funny you say that, Matt, though, because not to contradict you, because you are right. When you're dealing with a different caliber of person, it usually helps the cause.
Yeah.
But Luke's lady friend works at the Weirton Country Club.
Oh, no. Well, I see the other side. I know what you're going to kind of
allude
to. So
at the end of the day, when you have the quote-unquote
snobby assholes.
Yeah. And she, you know what's really, we had a really nice conversation at dinner the other night, and she was talking about the people that come in that are truly just filthy rich, mm-hmm. usually they are really nice people. Like, as in, it's the people that are quote unquote the fake wannabe rich
believe
people.
They're, I would
agree that believe they're rich, that are not as rich as a Matt Watson, and they come in with that fake shit. Mm-hmm. They're the true dicks of the world, man.
No, I agree.
Like the in between.
That's been my encounters too.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I guess you're not wrong. Like, if you had to deal with the trash of the world every day in and day out, I think that'd be brutal. But I think if you deal with those people that are just, think they're astute, for a lack of better term.
Trying to think about this job, this blue collar job that I want to do.
Well, talking about being like a waiter at the Brew Fest, I was pouring the beers, and I listen, I was wrong, but I was pouring a beer while I was talking to someone, so it's kind of foamy. Like, it was probably 60% foam. Like, I fucked up for sure. So I wasn't paying attention. I handed him the beer, and he goes, "Dude, what the fuck?" And it's like a real older guy, like super old. He's like, "Are you fucking serious?" And I was like, I turned around, I was like, "Oh, like that's my bad." So I was like, oh, this must be what waiters feel like.
But first and foremost, can you imagine doing that to somebody?
No,
like,
never.
It would be more like, "Hey, bud, I'm sorry. You know what? It looks like there's a little bit of fun.
Just please,
like,
where you feel this." And I would have did it.
100%. But that approach, man, is so bad. That's just so bad.
Yeah. But I think for I do know, speaking of the country club, I know somebody that worked at a country club as like a side gig and would be a waitress for that. And they told me some stories about some people that were, she said it was great because you get good tips if you do a good job, but there are some people up there that are like, need things exactly the way they want, and if they're not that way, then it's hell on earth mm-hmm. for them, which it's just, that's another people tangent. But for blue collar,
it took me, I think I got mine now though.
What you
go ahead
got. All right, so and this, I don't know if it's still, this doesn't, isn't the same exactly as a, like a regular laborer, but I always thought it would be kind of cool to work on one of those major fishing rigs or work at a marina or something like that, where you're doing a massively hard job, like a massive hard labor. If you've ever watched any of those shows,
like Deadliest
Catch.
Yes,
yes, exactly. Oh, God. Like Wicked Tuna, Deadliest Catch.
No,
I know something about that. I liked a little bit of danger. Ugh. I like it. I think that would keep me, that adrenaline would keep me going.
God, but can you imagine you get up and you didn't get a good night's sleep because the waves are tough.
I would be used to that lifestyle.
You go out and it's raining and it's
cold.
But
those are kind of elements that I don't mind. It's better than being in the sun, but I guess you got to deal with that sometimes too. But I always thought that would be one that I would kind of like.
It does seem super cool. Like, you do,
I would be, it would be incredibly hard and I'd probably die, but I would give it my fucking very best. I can tell you that.
I'd like the camaraderie with everybody on that boat.
And I love the sea anyway. So if I'm going to die, I want to die at sea. I don't want to get hit by a car. I don't want to get hit by a train. I want to get thrown overboard.
Yeah, can you imagine the different kind of person you would be too? Like, you would be like, you would not be. I don't think you would. I don't think we would recognize that, like, that universe is Matt to this Matt, because it'd be you would
be
like
totally
this,
different.
You'd be like a grizzled sea captain with a big beard.
Yeah, you'd be weathered to death. You'd have your hands.
You'd probably
ripped
have one arm. Like,
yeah, I mean, I might be a peg
off.
Leg.
Yeah,
I may have scurvy or dysentery.
You'd just be a pirate.
You just smoke cigarettes like every off one off the other.
Chances are, I'd be doing zins at the very least, Jeff.
Yeah, right. Hey, I'll share mine.
Yeah. Share mine. Like wet, like your skin would be all like,
it's just
weathered.
Like, if you can just imagine the movie The Perfect Storm.
Yeah.
Like those guys. That,
oh, man.
I don't know. To me, if I was able to beat, and I'm not anywhere near as qualified to do that, but I would try.
That would be a cool one. That's a good answer.
Actually, before everybody else answers, though, do you guys agree or disagree? I mean, I consider what I have as a desk job. You have a desk job. Can you imagine, like, when we don't get a good night's sleep or you don't get to sleep at all, going to a desk job, granted, it's hard to stay awake or whatever, but can you imagine not getting any sleep at all and you wake up and you're just truly tired, then you got to go do physical labor for the next 8 hours? That would be fucking terrible,
man. That's tough. I would say, I think with that, it would be harder to get into that, but I think once you start, like, and you moving,
blood starts flowing,
I think you're
sweat.
Good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Where I think is when I think when you're in a desk job, it would be easier to get going, but it'd be harder to do that the whole day
because
you're
just like, I have experience with that.
Like head going,
that'd be tough.
But
could you just sit in there, like, and I didn't have much going on. It's like, to stay awake for 8 hours when there's nothing stimulating your brain at all. Like, you gotta. and you have to be locked. It was so hard.
Matt, imagine just being like, you're up all night, like you maybe you just couldn't sleep. It was like hot or something. And then you had to get up at like the crack it on 5:30, 6 a.m. And you got to go untie the boat from the from the dock and get all the crab pots ready.
Smell some dead rotting fish and some seagulls out early.
Your buddy just got his leg ripped off.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
It takes some getting used to, for sure.
I'd say some sort of maybe like lumber, like in lumber yards or lumberjack? Something like that, like cutting trees down and
you'd
stuff
be good
like
at that.
Yeah, he like would. With a big chainsaw. I think I would like to do that, but that's one. Dangerous shit too.
Oh yeah,
I mean, shit. I know personally. I mean, somebody that worked and did that stuff who watched a guy just get crushed by a tree and then that was it, and then it's done. But probably something around there. I wouldn't want to. Coal mining is the furthest thing I would do.
Coal mining ain't going to work for a guy's our size.
No.
That's I don't know. Like, where our friend Phil, who's as tall as I am, and he's one that got trapped down in that mine.
Oh,
and he's okay, thank God. Yeah. But, like, I was thinking, like, from when he went down there, it's like, man, mines aren't made for guys that size. I mean, it's just, I feel like I'd be on my back. I'd look like I'd be hunched over.
Oh, sure. Oh. I know one. He's I just changing. Thought of something.
You got a better one?
It's not exactly.
You're going to be a cowboy.
I don't know if it's hard labor, if it would be like you need to be a higher position for this, but I want to be the guy at a dump that is the big crane operator that scoops the garbage
like
up and then burns it. I want to be that guy. I think that would be a good job. I've watched videos of that. They like on like X or Instagram, they'll be like workers that do that, and they set their phone up and they do a live stream of them just scooping trash up and dumping it in the burner, from ship to dockyard. It's awesome. I think I'd want to do that. That'd be cool. Operating big machinery.
Right.
That's fair.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
That's a go. I would probably pick that if I had to pick, but for what I'm thinking about, I would probably just do something that involves housework. I'm not going to get
demolition,
demolished or killed or something nice and easy. With
like a maid?
Yeah. No, just like carpet.
You look cute. Or, like a little skirt. Yeah,
a little blackout.
I'd be in high demand.
Yeah.
But something, the worst that would come from it is just back pain.
About you, Jeff?
I think I would probably choose like the carpenter route because I think it would be kind of nice that you double-edged sword. You'd be able to go make a living, but then you'd also be able to do a lot of things around the house where you'd be able to save yourself a lot of money. But I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth because coming from the medical side and the wife doing what she does, be careful what you wish for because, you know, anytime my wife goes anywhere, she always gets hit with medical questions. She gets family all the time. But I think if you're a carpenter, you do that job for a living, and then like, you're going to be the guy that everybody calls when shit needs done and stuff like that. So
we just
like, hey, buddy, I got this bad corner in my house. What you got? Or could you come over and help me out here? Mm-hmm. I got a bad seam in my cabinet.
I feel like those jobs get a lot of friends to try to ask them to do it for free too.
And that would not wrong.
That'd be taking advantage of people.
Yeah.
Or everybody that thinks it's okay that I'll just get you a pizza and a case of beer while you spend
right. Yeah.
6 years
put
in
all
my
this
house.
Time. Which one of those blue collar or which blue collar job would you guys absolutely not do under any circumstance, no matter how
probably,
much they paid you?
Probably coal mining would be because there's something about being that deep in the earth and knowing that if something goes wrong,
Would you be claustrophobic, any of you guys?
Oh, God. Absolutely.
Really?
I don't think I'd be horrifically claustrophobic. I think I would just be a constant fear that I'm either going to get crushed or I'm going to get some sort of lung disease or something. Yeah.
I think working on one of those giant. Now I'm not really scared of heights at all. But I think I wish I could do that. You know, mentally working on a high bridge or building like the steel, girders of these giant buildings, like the Empire State Building or something. To me, that would be hard to do, and it would be more not because I'm afraid myself, but there's so many different things that could go wrong up there.
Yeah.
And I have to trust other people at a massively high altitude.
Like those pictures of the guys eating lunch on the steel beams.
Unbelievable, sitting on a beam. How about those people that are doing it, those photos up on these dangerous things? Those kids fell and died. Like, it's terrifying.
What about a window cleaner?
Like those people out here, that scaffolding. It was there for literally 2 years, and they were on it one day. And I wouldn't have that big of a problem with that one because I'm pretty good if I felt safe about what I was on.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty good. I'm not really, heights don't really bother me so long as the platform I'm on is considered safe. So no, I could do that because I could tunnel vision and just through it.
Face forward.
I wouldn't want to be looking down, I tell you that. I mean, even though I'm not really that bad with heights, it's still not a fun feeling to be looking down at like that. You're just like, I'm one literal mistake, one belt loop caught, one anything, shoelace, whatever.
Yeah,
you're done. So those would be ones that I would stay away
from.
Jeff,
what about you?
I'm not claustrophobic kind of cat either. I'm really not afraid fear of heights, but I'll be honest with you, both of those scenarios would probably wig me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I still would like to see, it would be really cool, and it's cool, not cool. I think it'd be like if they had like tours in the mine where you could at least just feel like, because some of those cats, they tell you, I mean, what, they have the elevator that goes down and it takes at least 20 to 30 minutes. And then you got a train ride, another 30 minutes till you actually get to your spot to
and
work.
Those things can break down.
And those things can break down. And the thing about it, if you've ever seen them, I mean, they're not going like 2 miles an hour. I mean, they're kind of fucking flying down there
deep.
And stuff
you're
like
deep.
That. So I think those probably two would be on there. I think your ocean example, I love the ocean. I love the water, but I think living that life day in and day out would be absolutely brutal. So there'd probably be more things that I wouldn't want to do than I would want to do, if that's fair to say.
How about stop sign slow guy?
That'd be up in the things I wouldn't want to do.
I wouldn't either. That would be just so miserable.
Thoughtless.
It'd be
Tyler, like you said, it kind of be like all due respect what you were doing. I mean, I know
that monkey suit guy could do that. Yeah. A real monkey could do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, people talk about, man, I just want an easy job, blah, 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 this and that. And there is some niceness to that. But man, to have a thoughtless day for 8 hours, day in and day out, man.
It's unbelievable how much it wears on you.
Yeah. I mean, you start to get into a fucking funk because you're not using your brain at all.
It was insane. Like, I would go home and, like, I didn't do anything all day, but my brain was just, like, fried.
Yeah.
I would have to, like, I just sat there and thought to myself for 8 straight hours, and that was it.
What about, like, these guys, like you're talking about these skyscraper guys and stuff like that? Do you think they can actually live a normal life? Like, say, you know, I mean, I don't drink during the week just because it's not worth it anymore. I'll go get ridiculous on a Saturday, but, like, can you imagine those guys? Like, there's no way they can go booze it up the night before and then have to, like...
They can't go in there with, like, a little bit of a hangover
little
or headache.
Jitters going
like
on.
No, and you're got a little withdrawal going, or you got the sweats real bad.
I mean, that would be insane.
Yeah, I'm assuming anybody that goes up on those usually have to take breathalyzers and piss tests regularly.
What about the guy that changes the light bulbs on, like, a radio tower? Like, all the way up to the very tippy top?
Actually, it's so funny you say this because I just seen something like this the other day. Those guys only work like a couple days a year because there's obviously it doesn't need change all it, but they make dumb fucking money for doing that.
Yeah, there's like a famous video of a guy climbing to the top, and it's just a whole climb. I think it's like 45 minutes, maybe an hour long video of him just climbing all the way to the top. He hooks himself in, he changes the light, and then he climbs all the way back down.
How about the people that work for Lamar and go up on those billboards.
Man. Billboard. Oh, wait. There was a guy recently, I think, that was working on a billboard, and he fell, and he, like, broke his back in town, I think, recently for not Lamar.
I don't know,
but.
So why not? Those jobs don't always have cables or, like, something to keep them up.
I would imagine they have to be tethered most of them. I mean, I'm assuming there'd be violations of some kind if they didn't. But some people probably don't follow the rules.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Back in the day, quick.
You see those guys like you guys talked about with the iron platforms, a thousand. None of those guys were tied in and stuff.
No, the old bridge workers.
Back in the day, man.
Nope.
I mean, let's be honest. I know we want to talk about men being men and all that type of stuff. Here's the deal. Those guys fucking blow us away.
That's a different league.
That's a different. Those were true men.
Yeah.
Those were true men.
How many fatalities do you think were on those work sites that nobody really ever heard about?
A lot.
I watched a thing recently on the Golden Gate Bridge and how, like, people started dying and making that. And the guy who was in charge of the project was, like, so pissed off. Like, he ended up basically leading the charge for new regulations and more safety and stuff because he was broken up by how many people died on it. And, I mean, just job the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, people died on that. I mean, it's just... you're right, Jeff. I mean, those people went to work and with no fear.
Zero fear.
And they didn't even think twice about that.
I looked up the top 12 scary/creepy/downright disturbing jobs. Number 12, police diver. So, like,
that's tough.
Police like divers that will go and try to search for, like, car wrecks in the ocean or in the river or something like that. Number 11, called a steeplejack, which is basically people that go up on church spires, cathedral domes, chimneys, towering skyscrapers that all are engineers of, like, high steeples in industry. 10, high-rise window washer. So there's our window washer.
I do like the people, not to interrupt you, like when they dress up in like Spider-Man and stuff like that. They get, no, just for like when they go to kids' hospitals and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kids get so
Spider-Man's
excited.
Cleaning our windows.
Super cool, man. Good shit.
This is apparently on this website, they make $28,000 salary for window washing.
That's it?
I guess.
Don't they have the new window wash technology where you can wash them from the outside?
Yeah, like a...
the inside magnet.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's taken off.
Number 9, coal miner, or just miner in general, which I can understand. Number 8, rodeo clown, which I would never get
not
in
a shot.
That would be a tough one.
Number
I think
7,
Nick would be a good rodeo clown, don't you?
You know what?
He's agile. He's got lots of energy.
He is agile.
He'd be good. He'd get him all painted up in that clown suit.
If he
he'd have like a Kansas Jayhawk paint scheme.
He'd roll his ankle and then he'd get
I'm not saying he'd have a long career in it, but I think he would be good at it.
He liked said, a week
I don't think he'd have a long career.
Yeah,
like 48 hours.
His knee might go, but give him from Cheyenne to Helena. He could do a few stops
on
the tour.
He'd come to Ocean City and do the
right PBR. Yeah,
Seven Alaskan crab fisherman. That's on there. 6 is a clinical trial subject, which we know somebody like or somebody I know is a he does those clinical trials.
I feel
trials.
Like somebody we do know. Does that? Who
are you talking? They're the victim, or they actually run the trials?
No, they're the one that gets injected with like
who
medicines.
Was that?
Yeah, we know somebody.
Somebody we maybe interviewed for the show or something. I don't
I
know.
Thought it was a friend or somebody. I thought we talked. I think I was with you when we talked
I don't
to
know
him.
Who it would be? I can't remember that at all. But I do. That does sound familiar to me because I think I was like asking, like, you ever turn yellow or green?
They
or
make
like,
money. Based off of how much
they
do.
Yeah, I'm not signing up for that. Jeez,
that's a tricky one, especially nowadays.
That's like getting a COVID vaccine.
Honestly, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't
you're
want that. I can tell you that.
This quote is said, it's scary in the sense that you're subjecting your body to things when you have no idea what they are. There's a guy that does them. This is called a field epidemiologist, which is a job that requires playing Russian roulette with your health. A field epidemiologist, an employee of an epidemiology ward, a field epidemiologist works in communities where the outbreak of a new disease has occurred in order to study the disease as it progresses in real time. So basically, hot zones where like a disease starts,
like monkeypox,
so like
and
if Ebola,
Ebola.
Oh,
those would be terrifying. If you ever watch movies where it's like people from the CDC, and then there's those like airtight costumes, and you're like, oh, something bad's gonna happen, and then they get a hole in their, and they immediately die.
Bomb squad technician.
Oh, jeez.
See, now that one, I feel like if I was really educated at it, that is to me wouldn't be. Like, I get the danger, but you could be very good at that and probably more times than not come out on the right side, I would think.
Yeah, but the only thing is you only get one mistake.
That's probably true, but I think I could enter that one with high confidence if I could keep my heart rate down.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But if I was really good at it, I feel like I would keep my heart
rate. That's where the Zen's come into play.
Yeah.
Bring you down.
Double cheek, I look like a fucking chipmunk.
Imagine coming into that with a hangover.
Oh, God.
Shaky hand. Champ would be good at that.
Jesus.
He'd cut every wire.
He'd have a 0% success rate. Cryonics technician. This is basically, I'm assuming, the practice of cryonics involves attempting to preserve people
who are
legally dead, for very low temperatures so that they can be revived in the future when medical advances are able to restore life.
That's like in the movies, too, when you're on a space shuttle and you go into cryo-freeze and you wake up like 36 years later and you're the same.
Yeah.
So this is basically cryonics technicians typically preserve just the head of a patient since the goal is to protect the brain for eventual resuscitation. So there you go. You can do that.
Well, I'd try that. That doesn't seem harmful to me.
CTS decon technician, which are people that decontaminate crime scenes. Like
that one would be
crime scene.
Gross and filthy to me. And I would have a hard time with that one just the sanitary sake.
Well, I was gonna add one. What about a coroner? You guys like?
I couldn't do that. Couldn't do it.
It'd be a little...
Am I seeing like horrible
shit?
You
were seeing
the worst of the worst.
The worst of the worst.
I mean, whatever,
whether it be
murder,
crime scenes or car accidents to...
People in pieces, picking up people's organs and putting them in buckets. I mean,
if you're,
I think you need a special mindset for that. Like, that is not a
kind of a
job
dark,
for
dark
everybody.
Mind.
Yeah. And not being able to get nauseous. Like, that would make me nauseous. And I have a pretty strong stomach, but I don't do very well with the body parts spewed all over the... Now, if I want to see somebody get machine gunned down in the road in a movie at a drug deal, but that's no problem.
I think I've never seen, like, I mean, I've seen obviously person that's not alive, but I've never seen, obviously, like a horrific accident or anything. Like so I don't know how I would react, but I feel like I would be okay.
You think you could? That's cool.
I think so. I don't know. I don't
so
really
you
get
pick up someone's leg and just be fine.
I don't think I really get grossed out by that kind of stuff. I get grossed out with like spit more than I do.
Really?
Spit.
So you have the stomach? That's good. I don't.
I don't think I've never seen a cut or a wound or anything that have been like I got to look away. Like blood doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but I
think
that's a little different than seeing someone's entire leg just split off.
Well, I mean, like the Kevin. Remember Kevin Ware when he broke his leg?
Yeah, but it's a video. Seeing it in person.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like even my
bone marrow
leaking out. If my dad see my dad would never watch that video ever again in his life. Like,
yeah,
he'll
he's
never
squeamish
watch
like that.
That. But
so
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. I just don't think I could scoop up somebody's brain.
What if you have you guys ever Probably been not. Past? This is an awful subject, but have you ever been past like a scene, an accident scene where you go by and you see somebody covered in a sheet?
No.
Right, me and Chris did experience that one time, and it was a little bit
like unnerving.
Sobering. Yeah, it was like. Literally from us to the door where you produce the show.
It's like on
there's
highway?
A dead body. Yeah, on the way to a Penguin game. Like there was like this massive accident and two kids died in their bodies. You saw the coroner van coming up through all the traffic. And by the time we got past the scene, there was one of the bodies was covered up with a sheet.
Jesus.
That's so, like, yeah, I would, it's like, I could have been you.
I've seen more than I care to admit.
I'm sure you have.
Like
sure
you
oh, 100%.
Like the stench of death, you probably have.
I was in the ER. I was in the ICU. I mean, one of the most vivid memories I have working, we got called down the ER. Guy was on a motorcycle. Literally, his lungs were hanging out of his chest.
Oh. Was he alive?
Dead on arrival, but he was still full resuscitate. So we tried to bring him, but obviously,
But like,
I've done CPR.
Tough to get him breathing when they're on the outside.
I've done CPR on more people than I would like to admit.
Really?
I just did CPR on somebody probably like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Wait, why are you? I thought you were a sales.
Yeah,
you?
I thought you were.
No, but he used to be in the trauma.
But now even what I'm doing now, like, I mean, this is not a, because this is going to sound like a fucking blowhard statement. But I'll be honest with you. When you do CPR on somebody and you bring them back to life.
You feel like a superhero?
But that's a high.
Well, I don't know if there's anything better.
I'm sure there couldn't imagine.
Obviously, you've done that?
100%.
This past one?
Like four months ago.
What
you
job?
Brought somebody back?
Yeah, 100%.
You brought somebody back.
Swear to God.
So you, Jeff Doyle saved a person's
it
life 3 months
there
ago.
There was a team.
But you led the CPR.
100%.
Wait, why? What?
Where have you guys been?
I don't know. Wait, yeah, hold on. Time out. Let's rewind.
I don't want to make this about Jeff.
No. But I want to know because I, like him,
you're intrigued.
I thought you were just like in...
Like a soup. I thought you were just like soup.
Like above, like a higher level of soup.
No. So, okay. So
I know we probably shouldn't get into the weeds here.
No, because I hate, because this is dumb.
No, it isn't.
So the moral of the story, I worked as a respiratory therapist in the hospital.
I knew that.
So, and predominantly worked in like the ICU and stuff like that. So the shit that I seen there, I mean, I'll be honest, it's phenomenal. It's some of the best years of my life, as crazy as that sounds. I was young and that high and working in that hustle and bustle. And you do a 12-hour shift and you get done with 12 hours and you have no fucking clue what you just did for the last 12 hours because it was so crazy.
Speaking of that, real quick, I don't want to interrupt because I want to know more about this, but when I had my hive thing the first time before I went in the ambulance, the first time they brought me in and I sat in like one of the rooms where there's all the chairs and then like little curtains with they keep y'all separated, and I came out of there and I told my dad, I was like, I don't want anything to do with the medical field. I have no interest in being in the medical field, but there was something really, really cool about how everybody operated. Like there was like you could tell there was a tight community of the group that was in whatever circle that was working where I was, and they worked so well together, and they were having a fun, like talking well with each other, kind of like how we would if we were in a situation like that. Obviously they know more than I do and like us, but that environment, I told my dad, is something I would really like to be in. Not necessarily, I don't want to go, for instance,
the team aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to work to a common goal to save people, help people.
Exactly. Yeah. A girl that we know, I won't mention her name just in case she doesn't want me to tell this, but she came in and I was sitting in a chair, just like, I look like a little homeless kid, like just sitting there.
With a whole bunch of hives.
Yeah. All disheveled and like drinking a water. And she comes and brings drinks. I drink a water and she goes, okay, I'm going to go stitch a guy's hand up. He got bit by a dog. She went, stitch him up, came back like nothing happened. And I thought that was really cool. Like, you just went and did that. Now you're good and you're coming out and you got to go do 10 more things. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really neat.
And it is. And there is a community. And actually, I'll take it one step further. There is a reason why the hospital in any kind of clinical setting becomes a whorehouse.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about
that. And the reason why is because you talk about, you spend, when you work in a clinical setting, you spend sometimes more time with those people than you do your own family.
Now, when you say whorehouse,
hookups.
They're
hookups.
Known for cheating.
I mean, 100%. And but here's
people getting not together in the hospital. But,
oh, yeah. Well, maybe
100%.
Really?
100%. Without a doubt.
But it's not just in the movies.
But that's not the point of the conversation. The reason for the conversation is because you think about every emotion that you have as a human being. Yeah. You're having fun, like you got to see. But then you got to see if you, by chance, if you're a team of people and you're working on somebody and you're working so hard on somebody, and God forbid the end result, you lose them. Then you get to see other people's other side to that too. If you're in health care for the right reason, and you do have a heart, and you get to see that emotion of people. So I guess the ebbs and flows of emotions in a clinical setting is so that,
and you're probably leaning on people,
have to,
like, and this is also a good point, is like, if you're married to, say you're in what you're doing, and Cheryl's in the same field, in the same ballpark. But if you're doing what you do, and you see a guy's lungs hanging out, and then you're wife or somebody is like she works a desk job at, like, I don't know, a law firm, to be able to come home and have a connection where you're talking about your scenario is probably hard, whereas like if you can talk to a coworker about what just happened, it's probably a whole lot easier. So you probably build a tighter connection as far as work environment instead of with your significant other, because you can't, I mean, you probably can't expect your wife to understand.
There's a lot of compatibility, like, with that, without a doubt.
Like a guy's head fall off. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
No doubt about it.
But anyway, so you were in the ER, in that realm.
That was when I was working the clinical. So I haven't worked hospital since 2004, so it's been a minute.
Where did you go after that?
So I went into medical sales for 16 years.
Okay.
So that's where I was the soups of the world. I didn't do wound care sales, but I did. I pushed dope for a while and that kind of stuff. So,
which is just medication.
Yes. Yeah. The legalized.
The legalized. Yeah, legalized. Right.
And I did some other arenas too, where I like did DME sales and stuff like that too. But like the buildings that I work in now, obviously we're dealing with the elderly and stuff like that, and people die there too. So at the end of the day, so somebody went out, and I'm not afraid. I mean, obviously I come from that background, so I was not afraid just to jump in and kind of handle business.
But like, so I'm just kind of like, I'm trying to wrap my head around. So you're there. What were you there for?
So
Not to get into details.
Make a long story short, I was administrator. I was blessed enough just to take a promotion. So I'm a little bit of a bigger role. But that's not, thank you very much. That's not the reason. But the moral story is I work in a building. So when things go wrong, obviously you're in the thick of things. Yeah. But if you don't have a lot of people in this role too don't have a quote unquote medical background.
Yeah.
They're more the business type, where I come from a medical background and learn the business aspect of it.
Because well, that's beneficial for Soup is just on the business side.
Just on, he's trying to push it. He's trying to sell it.
I can't see Soup being able to resuscitate.
Yeah, so but
not like, that he wouldn't want to try, but I don't know if he's got the makeup for
when
it.
That happened. Maybe, and a person like what do they call that? Hard lines or what do they call that?
Flat lines.
When that happens, like, you just rushed in there and 100%. Just did it. But like, if, like, say Soup is in that situation, or
he's getting out,
like,
of the
say
way.
Say I go in and I'm trying to sell a sponsorship to WVU Medicine or whatever, and a guy flatlines. Can I run in and start doing CPR? Or do I have to pass through something?
Isn't there a law about
there
this?
There is a law. Yeah. There's the Good Samaritan law where, quote unquote, you can't, if you're doing something in good faith, and even if you're not CPR certified or whatever the case might be, there is the Good Samaritan law that, quote unquote, protects you. I think there's a lot of grayness to that law that will protect you, that God forbid that if you fuck up somebody while doing that, you were in good faith trying to save somebody as well. But I think that if they're able to prove that you had hidden agendas and you maybe weren't doing it in good faith, then maybe that can be spun in a bad way on you.
So, but like when you went in and you, that, which we have a life savior in here.
Yeah, that's so we have dumb. A superhero.
We do. Yes, it is true.
Because you guys would all do it too.
But you did it though.
You guys would all do it.
I know, but you did it though.
I know. But like, you know what though? It's different. It's not true. Quit that
shit. Yes, it is.
But at the end of the day, when you're quote unquote, like you just got done saying about being trained to release a bomb. When you're trained to do something, yeah. I mean, God forbid that happens over the Pine Room, I can promise you I'm going to be the first motherfucker jumping in. And
yeah.
Like none of that. I guess the fear factor. I have no fear factor with it because I've done it and I've
can handle the pressure
been around it and so stuff like that. So
you were just right place, right time.
No, it was the fact of matter. One of our residents went out and the fact of matter, they call what they call overhead to make sure that the team acknowledges what's going on. And at the end of the day, there's way more people that really should have been, because I've been out of that game for a hot minute, but at the end of the day, it just felt right.
You just were there.
It just felt right.
Did you go through the steps? You call 911?
100%. Like, I mean, this is so fucking dumb because I hate talking about this shit, but you just, it's something internally kicks in and you start giving directives and you just fucking take over.
Did you, when you went in to like take over, did anybody ask you like, who are you or what?
No, because I was the administrator of the building.
So everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, knows who I am. But at the end of the day, it's probably, if you don't come from that background, probably most people probably wouldn't do that.
Are you gonna question if Superman comes into your room?
No, but I'm just saying, I think I know you don't like talking about this. I know you don't, but I think for people that don't know what you do, I think this is
awesome.
Well, I think just the end of the day, the moral of the story is we were talking about, there's just a high to that. Like, and here's the deal. There's some sombering times too, that when you work on somebody and they don't last, I mean, they don't make it. I mean, probably one of the worst moments I've ever had in my whole entire life was we worked on an 18-year-old kid who had leukemia, ended up throwing a clot. His parents sat at the bedside while we pumped on this kid's chest. So, I mean, there's a lot of, once again, the ebbs and flow of medical.
Like, you don't always win.
So
right?
You don't always win. So you have the success factors that brings you back and makes you realize why you got into this game. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the times that, man, oh man, you as a team tried to do your best to save a life, and then you have the parents there. Not that they're blaming you, but man, oh man, there's a letdown fucking factor that you weren't able to make it happen too.
Do you think you have to be a different caliber of human being to be able to? Because anybody could. It's like being an athlete. It's like how do you perform if you fail? Like, if you're not able to handle a failure in the medical field, then you're not cut out to be in that.
You're not
field.
Cut out for that. And once again, it goes back to the heart aspect of it. Like, at the end of the day, if you don't, if it doesn't bother you that, that you tried to do something and it didn't work, even though you knew that the end all be all, maybe there was the uncontrollables were the uncontrollables, but not that death ever gets easy. But let me sum this up. If you're working on a 100-year-old and they, God forbid, pass, they lived a really good life.
Yeah. Correct.
You work on an 18-year-old and they don't live, they still had 80 more years, quote unquote, in the rules of life.
Supposedly should be.
So there is. I mean, you just, it goes back to the whorehouse thing. That's where you're seeing every emotion. You get to see people at their best time. You get to see people at their worst time. I know, and I'm not, because obviously I come from that aspect. The lack of respect that we have for firemen, medical community, policemen, people that are service people that are out there on a daily basis that are quote unquote trying to do good by people, the lack of respect for those communities today, in my opinion, is fucked up. You talked about, like, from a standpoint, old Kevin Heller, big man Kevin Heller. When I tell you, one of the best men I've ever met in my whole entire life. He was a fireman for 20 years, but also worked at the hospital part-time as a respiratory therapist. I was blessed to have him as a colleague, number one. Obviously grew up with his kids, that type of stuff. He would always talk about, everybody would always want to talk about being a fireman and fucking, you know, puff out and I'm a fireman. But as soon as shit hit the fan, those would be the first motherfuckers that wouldn't want to run into the burning building.
It's like a scent of a woman. Some guys run, some guys stay.
And it's true. So, but it's just, it's the intuition of, you ask why would I do that, at the end of the day something internal kicks in, and that's the reason why you go to school, that's the reason why you do clinicals, that's the reason why you're hopefully that you're prepared for those moments that internally, because really at the end of the day I shouldn't be the guy doing that now.
Well,
there's many people that are truly doing the day-to-day clinical operations now, that those are the people, but
whoever you did it to, they ought to be glad that you did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the deal. Somebody else could have been doing it and made it happen too. Well,
somebody else could have fucked it up.
Somebody else could. But remember, I'm not pushing drugs.
I know.
I'm not pushing any of that shit. It's just, you know, like I said, it is what it is. But it is. There's a reward to that. There really, you ever save anybody's life, there is definitely a high to that, without a doubt.
Yeah. That's got to be the highest of highs.
Man. Yeah.
So. I never knew that about you, Jeff. That's awesome.
Wow. I think people, I genuinely, and I'm not just saying this because I know you hate talking about yourself and talking about this stuff, but I think genuinely people are going to be interested in hearing that. I mean, because we sit here and talk about
he's
shit.
Such a fucking blow.
No, I promise you that. I promise you not. Hannah might cry listening to this right now. But
I almost cried. That was great.
It is. You're a hero, Jeff.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Yes, you are.
It is.
But that's cool, and I think that.
So my question to you guys is, you're telling me you wouldn't do that?
No.
No, 100% would.
Yeah, I would sure give an absolute effort.
You see somebody struggling or whatever the case might be, the humanity kicks in. You may not know exactly the semantics of what you're supposed to do, but at the end of the day, I would imagine, I know from knowing you guys as long as I have, the three of you are going to give it a fighter's chance on trying to give somebody their best option, right?
I feel like I operate very well under pressure in certain, obviously nothing like that, but I feel like I could do it from that aspect, but I would obviously be at a disadvantage by not knowing all the procedures and the correct way to do it, but I would sure give it a hell of an effort. That's for sure.
So like even
and I wouldn't shy away from it. I wouldn't be somebody who cowers and be like, I'm not trying that.
You're at the Outback tonight and somebody's choking. Somebody's choking. I mean, at the end of the day, if everybody else is sitting around and watching, I'd know that the three of you would hands down step up and try whatever you thought you could to fucking try to make that statement.
Some people freeze in those moments, I'm sure.
It's true.
And I'm sure you weed those people out in the medical field.
Have to.
And it's not that they're not smart. It's just they can't handle the environment, which I'm sure happens.
And actually, one more thing that we dealt with was there was a surgeon and most of the time surgeons have that fucking God complex and they fucking think they're the second coming of Jesus. And here's the deal. They're the real deal Holyfield, but they still put their pants on in the morning just like we do.
Yeah.
But like there was one that's retired now. When I just tell you, if he walked in here right now, you would have no fucking clue that he was a surgeon. He was just like us. As a matter of fact, he would never dress the part. If you've seen him drive what he drives, you would never know that he was a surgeon. Like he lost just doing a general surgery one day. And unfortunately, the patient was fine out of surgery, end up throwing a clot. He literally fucking melted on the outside of the wall and crumbled to the wall because he was just so devastated because at the end of the day, surgery went well. Post-surgery went well. Nothing that he could have controlled whatsoever and lost a patient. So, I mean, it's just that, you know, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. So. Well, those people are they're on a different level than I think I'll ever be. But
Shout out to the brave ones. Yeah. And speaking of that, 9/11 coming up tomorrow. Talk about brave people
under crazy.
Incredible pressure and how many lives actually everybody talks about the amount that were lost. We talked about on the radio today, but like there was a lot of people saved because of people in your profession and the firemen and the policemen that you just spoke about. And a lot of those people were going into that building not knowing they weren't properly trained. Like so obviously the firemen are and stuff and the police a little bit knew how to handle things, but a lot of people went in there just brave on their own and saved some people.
I like to think I'm a guy that if things happen, I like to rush into not really care. Like I'm a throw caution to the wind if something happens. I think in our friend group, I feel like I'm that of mindset. But in that grand of a circumstance where 100 floors up, there's fire and ash and devastation, and I know for probably a certain fact that if I go in this building, there's probably a 90% chance I'm not coming out of this building.
Right.
That I don't know that I would probably, I don't know if I could do that.
Do you ever get there I guess we've never experienced it. Jeff, maybe to some degree, but the adrenaline goes that you almost do feel a level of invincibility in a way. Yeah. It was where you're just not worrying about that. You're just going like off your high. You're going to save some money. You're going to do whatever you can do to make a difference. But yeah, I mean, I would like to think I would be going in there too, but until we actually faced with it,
yeah, hopefully we never
hard to
no right. Hopefully nobody ever has experienced that. But that goes back to that day, and that makes sense now, Matt, because I was trying to do a little research and just for today, in case if I had to be the lead or whatever. But they're talking about now, there's always been where some of these people have been covered because of the toxins that they had to deal with and what they inhaled and stuff like that.
Yes.
So there was a big article today that popped up again. And it's really embarrassing that I'm even admit I didn't realize tomorrow was 9/11.
Dessert is an essential part to a quality life, and quality desserts make life all the more better.
had a long day at work and you need something sweet. Maybe you're out late and you need the perfect snack to cap off your evening. Or you're just a dessert lover with a knack for the finest of sweet treats. Well, say hello to the Brownie House, home of the best brownies ever. A family bakery dedicated to baking the world's best gourmet brownies, baked with premium imported chocolate, high-quality ingredients, and no preservatives. No prepackaged, pre-made, fake-tasting chocolate, no. These brownies are made from scratch, shipped nationwide, and delivered right to your door. And starting right now, you can head to yesbrownies.com and use the code PINEROOM, all caps, during checkout to receive 20% off your order. For the best brownies and more, take a trip to the Brownie House.
To be very honest with you, so it makes sense on why that article popped up the other day about that.
About how many people died after the fact with that were there.
Still cancer breathing in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So many people.
And actually, I think part of it, too, is I think the money is running out.
It is. It is. People have already forgotten about
it.
It's sad.
Which is fucked up.
It's sad.
So
look at it. Look at it.
What is it? 23 years? 24? 23 years.
23.
Because 2001, yeah. 23 years. Good Lord.
That was a wild day, fellas. I'm not going to lie. That was a really, really wild day.
Where were you doing at that point?
I was
Jeff?
At the hospital.
Okay.
And I tell you what.
So that makes you even more heightened awareness, like, oh my.
Without a doubt. And actually, they went around because obviously, and this is crazy.
Blood, direct. Remember how important blood was?
Yeah. And this is crazy. And nobody will believe this unless if you worked at the hospital at that time. They were going around and there was, I mean, obviously, there was so much. Nobody really knew what the hell was going on, number one. But number two, they were reaching out to every medical community across the country to try to get volunteers to go. And there was even rumor mills that they were going to be as crazy as this sounds, like bringing in Air Force One and stuff like that to pick up people to be able to take them out,
helicoptering
like
them out. Yeah,
they were asking for people to sign up for it
here.
100%.
Yeah, all over. Especially if like mid-Atlantic and East Coasts, because that's where
they just needed all hands on deck.
And did you experience that in the medical field? Did you experience people like leaving?
No, because they asked for volunteers, but it never got to small town Wheeling, West Virginia.
Right, it didn't trickle its way out to here yet.
Yeah,
but
obviously that's horrible. But that's kind of cool that they were having people just fly out all
fly
day.
Out
that's
there.
Insane.
Yeah. But the thing about it, it just kind of like what Matt's alluding to, you know, well, you're technically going in the blind too, because you're not you're thinking about the acute situation on how you're going to go help people, but you're not thinking at all what this could do for me for the rest of my life if I get there and I'm taking care of people. And they said obviously it was smoldering for how long and the smoke was there for so long, and you're not thinking about that aspect of like I'm going in and technically taking the chance of breathing that stuff in, and those are the people who are also getting the cancers of the world and stuff like that too. So but it is, it's, but you know what though, I will say this much, and we've talked about this a million times on this show, so it's redundancy, but that it takes those moments in America where it does, it's very cool to be an American at that time. And it also shows on how our country, when shit does hit the fan, on how we do come together as a community. The problem is it's fucking short-lived.
We talked about it today on the radio.
About
the unity. Like you hate to have an event like that to unify. Mm-hmm. But like to me, that was the last time.
I agree.
I mean, that period after, and it may be a few years, but then it was that unity that we had as a nation. We actually did have some unity. Mm-hmm. And obviously, by about 2008, that was all gone.
I'd say we got close during the Boston Marathon.
That got it pretty close, too.
Because I remember that was probably the biggest. Biggest.
That would be the most similar event you guys.
Most similar, because I remember where I was during that. We were watching it in our living room, and it had just happened. But I'd say, but it's just, it's like, why does it have to be horrific shit that brings everybody together? That's why I say to Matt, I know it sounds joking every time, but I swear to God, aliens would literally be the most unifying thing
for the whole planet,
for the entire planet, because then you're like right now. And I always think about this too. I think about how I wrote this in our blog. Go to pineroomstudios.com.
Nice little plug. I love that. Good job.
But the vastness of everything that's around us, how insignificant all the little trials and tribulations that are going on our little rock, when there's thousands and thousands and trillions of light years around us.
You mean things like Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, who should start a quarterback, aren't important? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. How many points I scored on my fantasy team this week. But
our lives are so minuscule.
You think about how that literally, I mean, it does for us here in our lives, but all that shit, all the conflict that is happening, like that we can't get along on, how little it really means in the grand scheme of everything. And you think about if there was us on our little rock, and we found out that we're not just us on our little rock, and there's a little rock across the pond, and they're doing their own thing, then it becomes us as a group. And I think I feel like not a lot of people can step back and say, you know what, we're all like you. We might not have the same beliefs, or you might talk about something, but we're literally, if you put all that shit aside about whatever you might believe in, and we sit down and we go back in the backyard and play bocce, like that's the kind of shit that people don't understand, that you and me are the same. We're human beings on a planet, that we all came from the same place. We're all the same. We got two eyes, two arms, two legs.
Most of them.
And, well, yeah. Well, supposed
the
to be.
The guy working on the ship maybe doesn't.
Yeah, Matt's alternate self. Right. Yeah. But there's something about, I've always wanted there just to be a reason for everybody to say, you know what? I know we don't believe in the same thing, but we're humans. Can you imagine the shit we could do on this planet?
It'd be totally awesome.
This planet, we would have technology that would be... We'd probably have cures to stuff. We'd have technology that would be beyond belief if everybody... Imagine the greatest scientists from North Korea and the greatest scientists from China and Japan, and they all got together. And Russia, I mean, I wish it was a world like that, but obviously never will.
Honestly, Jubb, it's funny you say that, because
Soup's at the door.
Soup is here?
Yes, he said he lost his keys.
We unite more in outer space now at the International Space Station than we do on our own planet. It is quite incredible.
Well, I think the other part to that is the fact of the matter, it's the lack of respect that we have for the common man. We all have trials and tribulations, right?
Right.
And just because you have your pocketbooks or through the fucking roof, you know, they have their own set of problems as well, just as much as the guy on the corner saying, you know, I'll do anything for food. Everybody's got their issues, but everybody doesn't have a sense of respect for each person with that kind of stuff. And I think that's probably part of our problem, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, just being able to understand the world isn't about you.
Yeah,
it's
you know,
like
what?
You're such a meaningless part of it. Like, even though you mean something to other people in your life, you just don't matter in the grand scheme. And not enough people think like that.
No.
It's a big problem.
Well, that is a great bridge, because now that we went really heavy, deep, and real at one time, you talk about that aspect. So the whole and I'm not here to bash on Deion Sanders, but I did read something the other day, and this is a crazy bridge, but it will piggyback off of what you're talking about, Matthew, is the so did you guys see where he did not allow Colorado band to play their fight song when they score a touchdown? They wanted him to play his son's rap song.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Like, can you imagine being that fucking egotistical that the fact of matter that something, I don't know how long Colorado's been a university, but I would imagine it's been around for a hot minute.
Yeah, I would say that probably was founded it might have been in the late 1800s.
That's honestly,
I mean, it's possible.
Institution's at least been the around early... for a hot minute. So the fact of matter that they've been playing the fight song on a touchdown we changed pace real quick, but it was
what
a good bridge.
About?
Just on how he was talking about... on people, we were talking about how people just don't have respect for each other, and the fact of the matter that if we, even people with a lot of money, they have their trials and tribulations, just like the guy on the corner, this and that. And he was talking, we were more like egotistical things. And that's how, why
1876.
People, there you go. Where people can't come together, because he said, really, at the end of the day, we may mean something to our immediate group or our family, but in the big picture of life, I mean, really, we're just a fucking little peon in this whole thing. But how I bridged it was, so Deion is kibosh the band from playing their fight song when they score, and they're making them play his son's rap song. And I just said,
Joe.
Can you imagine being that egotistical that song has been probably
What's
played
the
since
song?
I don't know, it's a fucking idiot song.
Like, but, it's not a famous song.
I mean, I've never heard of it, but I'm Shador sure some Sanders.
But can you imagine? So it's 2024. Colorado's been an institution since 18 what, Matt?
76.
And I don't know when they brought around a football program, but that means they've been playing that fight song for fucking that long.
Right, over 100 years.
This dickhead comes in and saying, we're done. I want you to play my son's rap song. Can you imagine being that guy?
I don't know.
I can't believe the odd that 1890 was the first football.
So there you go. It's been going, 134 years. I mean, that is just blows me away. I cannot imagine being that self-serving. We all have our selfish ways. Let's be honest. See, there's times in life where you have to be a little bit selfish, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
But to be that self-serving and to think that just because it's your son that you think that the whole Colorado organization and the whole Colorado fan base wants to hear your son's rap song, that's just so
funny. That was the same thing I talked about a couple months ago was when Kim and Kanye's Northwest took that position in that what was it, Lion King
play?
Yeah,
it was in one of the Broadway musical plays.
They just got her to go
it, and
do
she
that.
Was not qualified for it.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Did not do it very well.
And then tried to sell how good she was.
Yeah.
It just blows me away. I just could not imagine.
I just feel bad because I know, like, people disagree and have different points of view, and I always try to look back and just go, like, they're a human being, too. And, like, they might – that's kind of a different situation because you're just being a dick.
You
and,
are
like,
being a
you're,
dick.
You're ruining things
do
for other people.
You think he does that on purpose, kind of?
You know what? It's a re- I mean, it's
like
a,
maybe he's really not like
too.
That. Or like, is this a showman?
It's like WWE.
It's like no news is bad news kind of thing, or no media is bad media. No press is bad press.
That's a great question, Matt.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's
maybe
a really
not.
Good question. I don't know.
And I just like, there's just people that I feel bad for. Like it's in the political world. And I obviously don't pay attention to politics as much as I probably should. But like, People hate Trump. People hate Biden. People hate Kamala. And I get it. Like, if people disagree with what they, but
right,
like,
but do you truly hate them?
But do you hate this person?
Right.
Like, if you sat down with Sleepy Joe and you sat down and you played a game of fucking checkers with him and you drank had ice cream and sat there and talked about him, like, would you really hate this guy? Like, I feel bad because. And I know maybe he's like a piece of shit behind the scenes. I don't know.
I bet you could find common ground with him. I bet you could. Maybe not him now, but.
But can you, like, I just.
When he had a brain
at work. Like, people, like, I see, like, stickers on truck that just say, like, fuck this guy and, like, fuck Joe Biden. Like, do you really think that, like, an old 90-year-old man, like, sitting on the beach right now, like, that's what he should be doing,
correct.
Is sitting on the beach. He shouldn't be in the position that he is.
Nope. Right.
He should be sitting on the beach enjoying the rest of his life, whatever time he has left. Eating ice cream and riding his bike, and that's what he should be doing. And I feel bad, even though I don't agree with what happens with what he does or whatever, but I just look at the old guy and I think he's just an old guy. He's just an old man.
And actually, it's a really valid point, Job. If the trees were not skewed and you were sitting at the beach and by chance you looked over and you didn't even know he was Joe Biden, you didn't know it was our president, and you sparked up a conversation, he is a charismatic dude, probably hold a great conversation, right. Set politics aside, you're sitting there talking about the birds flying. Like, I would agree with you. Like, he's probably not a dude that you'd want to fucking throw by.
And I just don't. It makes me feel bad because I know, and I get it. I mean, they give you reasons to dislike them for what they say or whatever.
But do they actually do it, or does our media?
And that's
is our media
thing.
The real problem?
Well, and another thing is, too, it's like this guy might be in this position, but you don't think that there are 20, 30, 40 other people pulling strings behind the scenes really doing it? I mean, this poor guy's up here. I mean, he can't even put a sentence together. And you're shitting on this guy, but really, is it his fault? I mean, really, I mean, he shouldn't be up there to begin with, but I mean, I just, I try to see humanity in people.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Joe, because I would say, and this sounds really bad, but if you sat in a room with some of the worst, most ruthless people of all time, chances are you could find common ground with them on something. Whether I sat down for a beer with Obama or Joseph Stalin or, dare I say, Cooley's boy.
But I think that might be.
But like, even so, like,
that's true.
It's the policies that make you so mad. And the what has driven the hate is our media.
Yeah.
Our media doesn't tell people the full story about these. It's hard for me to think that everyone hates Donald Trump as bad as they do. If they sat down with him and actually talked to him about things that concern them, I bet you that you would find some common ground.
Like,
and no one wants to do that, though, especially on one side. You can figure out which one it is, the hateful side.
And does he say dumb shit sometimes?
Yes
he does. And again, I think some of that stuff he might do.
He could.
For the attention. But also, like, I saw him hitting golf with, who was he hitting
Bryson
golf with?
DeChambeau.
Yeah, DeChambeau. Like, I would go play around to golf with him, and I bet you'd have a great time. Like, just talk to him in the pub. Like, you almost wish that this guy wasn't in the limelight just so you could see what he was like just out of everything.
People give great accounts about Trump throughout his life, about how good of a guy he was and how many of these people that used to like him have now turned on him just because of the politics part of it. It's not fair, and we all do it. We all judge people unfairly, and it's a problem. You're exactly right, Joe.
And I honestly wish there was like a thing where, obviously you could never do this, but every person could sit and have just a one-on-one, not talk about politics.
You get 10 minutes.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Life.
Just life. Talk about what's going on
today.
They're
all people too. They all got grandkids. They all got, you know, families. It's
like the whole cop thing back where everybody hated the like whatever had, like things that have happened, things where you hate a cop or you hate a back when I was in school. When I, like, teachers, before you realize that they're humans too, they're human beings. Mm-hmm. And when I got older and could realize that, I loved having conversations with teachers because you find out that these people are just people too, trying to make, they're on their first go around just like I am. And I think that's what people
need more of that. You're right.
I'll circle this back, Matt. Let me ask you this question. In the role that you're in managing people, when you tell somebody yes 99 times, you're the greatest fucking thing since sliced bread.
Right.
But as soon as you tell them no one time, Matt's the biggest dick. You know, if he fucking told me that I was no, blah, blah. So no matter what, in any leadership role, and you know what you sign up for, right, Matt? I mean, the bottom line is it's being in a leadership role. There's a lot of times you're a great guy and there's a lot of times you're a dickheaded. You know what you're getting yourself into. But that's where people's perspective gets skewed. At the end of the day, it kind of like what you said too, Job. We all wanted to think that our teachers were pricks. Well, can you imagine dealing with fucking 30 of us in third grade?
And 90% of them are assholes.
Are just assholes. Yeah. And they don't come from good backgrounds. Yeah. And the fact of the matter, they don't even respect their parents. So how in the fuck are they going to respect the teacher up in front of them? So we automatically just think they're dicks or they're hard on us. No, we people just got to realize they have a job to do and they're trying to do it for the betterment of whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But people cannot
think it's
that.
Like it's not until you get into that position that you realize what that person was going through.
Well, I think it's some of that. Do you not agree? Is maturity?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, maturity is being able to sit back and go, okay, well, you know, they were doing the best they could. Or I'll even take one step further. Being a parent, there's no Bible, there's no fucking playbook on how
it
to
works
be a
every
parent.
Time, right?
And that's also frustrating too. It's like if you see if you're out with baby Luke when he was a kid. And some other kid, like a young couple who doesn't have a kid yet, judges you on how you parent Luke. Mm-hmm. It's not until they have a kid, and I can't even say this because I don't have a kid yet, but they're judging you on how you raise your kid. They haven't been in that position yet, so they have no idea what that would take to raise a kid and be in that situation where I guarantee a majority of people will end up doing exactly what they thought was the wrong way to do things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
That's a good point, Job.
I think
a really good point.
A lot of people, and I am guilty of being short of temper and quick to jerk my knee every now and then, but I just feel like people sometimes just got to take a breath and find the humanity in people every now and then, just even no matter who they are. But, you know, and I think maybe if – I think it would be really cool too, instead of this presidential debate tonight, which is probably going to be a shit show.
It would be like Tom Brady's roast.
I would love it if they said, we're going to have a sit. They're going to like put them in a restaurant, make them eat dinner together, and they can't talk about politics. They just talk about their life, talk about what's happening in the world.
That would be a tremendous idea.
Talk about, you know, what they did, get to know each other, how they got to the positions where they are, talk about their history with each other, make them people. Like, make them people. Right now, you put them up on stage where they argue about whatever. They're not people.
I think one of the best questions that any moderator had for, or statements, however you want to look at it, for when Trump was running against Clinton was when they had them say something nice about the other person.
I think that was phenomenal.
But I think what has happened with politics too, and granted, I didn't get into politics till later in my life because at the end of the day, is being a young buck, you really just don't give a fuck.
Right.
You don't
think it matters to you.
It doesn't
matter,
this and that. But I don't remember even being a kid and even watching my parents do this and watching I don't think we had as many commercials on TV back in the day either. Why does it always have to be bashing of the, like, it shouldn't be even like when this debate tonight, and I know, and here's the deal, full disclosure, I'm a Trump guy, but at the end of the day, you know Trump's going to go up on stage and motherfuck Kamala. It doesn't need to be that, though. Let's tell us your platform. Tell us what you're going to do so I can make an educated decision on, okay, this is who I need to vote for because, you know what, I feel like he's talking to me, or if Kamala is talking to me.
Yes.
But to go up there and just bash each other, and then it becomes a circus and a shit show, and as other countries are watching us and going, so these are your two fucktards that you got fucking going on right now?
And it was the same thing in the mayoral race. We saw slandering the letters that got real ugly. And I think we probably can take a guess who it was. But like, why do we have to do that? If you're a good speaker and you know what you're talking about, and you have strong beliefs in certain whatever policies you want, and you have a sound basis of who you are, there should be no need to shit on the other person. And I think that kind of stuff is so classless. But I mean, I guess that's the way of the world now. Because
there's so much money involved in this. All these people that seem to get into these, maybe not Wheeling, but the people, they make a lot of money by getting elected here. So there's a lot of money at stake, and that part is ignored. Because that's what it is. It's a big business. Why do you think that all these old Republicans, it is disgusting to me. I know you guys don't want to talk about politics. Jeff may have an opinion on this. But like, don't you find it disgusting that like Dick Cheney and some of these guys that were in Republican administrations are now saying they're voting for Kamala Harris? Like, that is troubling to me. And that makes me even more sure that I'm right, that this was always a big business. It was just a seesaw game. Okay, Bush for 8 years, then we give you Obama for 8 years. It's just a balance of power. They all get rich. They go out to dinner with each other. They go on the Senate floor. They yell at each other. They say obscenities, and then we're out shaking hands and laughing together because they're getting rich off of us.
One day when we have time, we're going to get into shit like this. But do you think there's a chance, an outside chance, that Trump and Kamala go up there, they MF each other the whole time, they hate each other, and after the fact, they call each other and they go, hey, we fucking
got it. That was a good one, guys. Was a good one.
I would say that prior to Donald Trump coming, this is why so many people dislike that guy, because he's not playing by those rules. In the old days, 100%. They would say, like Nixon and Kennedy, first televised debate, they were going at each other hard, and then afterwards they said they went out and smoked a cigar or something. Like, it's in the old times, absolutely, up until the last election. But Trump has pissed off everyone on both sides now, which tells me that there was always the corruption there, that the sides shared power, they agreed on this stuff, and it was all show.
It's like big WWE. Like, yes, big.
But now he comes in as a new world order, taking over.
Yeah.
Well, the other problem that's really sad about what I'm about to say is people that try to run a clean campaign can't win.
No chance of winning.
They can't win, and that really sucks too. And I think we've seen a little bit of that at our local level.
Yeah.
We had somebody that, you know, they quote unquote was trying to not be the derogatory and just try to run on their platform and this and that, and he didn't win. And I think it depends on how hard up, for lack of better terms, you are to get into that position, that it skews you and you want to start playing in the same playing field. And it's just so sad. I'm a big believer, and once again, rainbows and butterflies. We got to get rid of the both parties, which is never going to happen.
No question.
And the other thing is the fact of matter of, it would be nice if Jeb Delbrook could run for, I mean this as in just the normal Joe, that
would actually have an honest chance to win.
Honest 100%. Chance to win, that doesn't, like, that understands truly what it feels like to need and want, right, and how they can be relatable to the 90% of the people that are quote unquote checking the box. We can't relate to Donald Trump. We can't fucking relate to Kamala Harris at the end of the day. And I know they try to do a good job of relating to lower level, mid level, high level, and all that type of stuff, but it's just not relatable. And I just think it would be so nice that whole platform, we just fucking cut it up, sweep it underneath the rug, and start over.
There's just so much money, it'll never happen.
It's never gonna
until
happen.
We put a stop to it, term and limits, and get rid of these people, the lobbyists. And I feel like Trump reciprocates he can kind of find common ground with people better than Kamala. But as far as me, I can't really relate to him on anything other than some policy, because as far as lifestyle and bad, and like absolutely nothing in common.
That's
with him.
Where I
have nothing in common with her either.
That's where I have a problem with that. It's like, Do I necessarily like either side? No, but I can't relate. I can't, like, Trump. I mean, how long has he been a billionaire? He's been on TV for.
Right.
I knew him when I was a kid. Like, I knew he was in Home Alone. I knew he was, like, but he's. And it's like we talk about it with Taylor Swift and with, I think we were talking about like Coco Gauff, or no, not maybe her.
Well, I mentioned
like,
her.
Like millions of, like they're millionaires who like.
That they're going to tell us.
Like he's never
going to
go.
Low level person.
Like they're never going to go and get a carton of milk from the store and like need to go get bread for peanut butter sandwiches. Like that's never going to happen. So it's hard for me to relate to like that when we have people that are millions and billions in heirs and thousands of dollars. But maybe one day we'll just have like a mailman. And he'll be like, just had an interest in politics, and somehow there's a landslide, and he won. I don't know.
It'd be pretty cool, though. It really would be very cool at the end of the day, because obviously I think there'd be more people that could relate to that than what's going on now. But once again, there's not a shot in hell that ever happening.
Do you think also, too, if that guy did win, like he would be hated by a lot of people, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
He'd probably, get killed. Yeah. You got it out before I could. He'd probably get killed. And that's
they don't want you to upset this. That's why you think they shot at Trump. I mean, honestly... Very good chance both sides of the aisle were involved in that.
Do you think, like, Kennedy, too? Do you think
We could talk about that. That there's no question. Or I would say I'm not sure exactly, but I'm 100% sure that our government
like
was involved in that.
That,
in some
that was
way.
Not just a mm-hmm. random attack.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's a, do you guys agree or disagree that it's a good thing to feel that you want or need something and can't get it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's almost like a like you, for instance, you saying just like something I like a buying something.
Just,
like
I guess just in general. I mean, I'm sure I want to be a brain surgeon, but I'm not smart enough to be a brain surgeon. But I guess what I'm saying is I think to have things in life that yearn for that is either not attainable or that you've fallen upon hard times or. That you have had those moments in life where you've truly lived paycheck to paycheck and you weren't sure that last day on fuck man, thank God tomorrow's payday because I truly don't have no money in my pocket kind of thing. Like I think that feeling, it's a horrible feeling, but it is a great feeling. Like when you're able to overcome that.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the driving force to make you overcome that.
I know we're running long here, but I got a question because I think I might have asked this to maybe you before and you said no. So there was a question, I can't remember what it was brought up on. I think it was on another podcast or something I was listening to. And let's say that a guy comes in here and he's like got the newest technology and he gives you a pamphlet and he says, if you get in this pod, it's a little sleep pod. You get in this pod, we're going to put you to sleep. You're not going to know that once you're asleep, you're not going to know you're asleep. But as soon as you're asleep, you have the perfect world you could possibly imagine. You have everything you want. Everybody you want to be around you is around you. Any dream you can attain, you can have it in your dream, and you have no recollection that it was a dream. That
so it's
you're
like Avatar almost.
Yeah, so like you have no prior knowledge that you were put in this pod. All you know is that you were sitting here, and now all of a sudden you go outside, and there's a Lamborghini in the
dream. And it's yours.
And you go home, and there you have a sixth floor mansion sitting across from 138, and you're. Have the Pine Room every Saturday, and Notre Dame always wins.
That'd be really cool.
That sounds pretty good,
that'd
huh?
Be really cool.
But would you accept that? Do you think you would sign the paper to get in that pod?
I'm so sorry. I'm really confused on what you just asked me.
So when you get in this sleep pod, they're going to put you to sleep for the rest of your life.
But I know this.
Basically,
you know it before you go in.
But you're going into an alternate reality, basically.
You know before you go in. Okay. But once you're in that pod, everything to you is your reality. Like you don't know you're in this pod. Like you go home right now, like Cheryl's got dinner ready or whatever, however your normal life is. But anything you want and wanted, any dream you have, you achieve. Anything you want right now, you have. It's a perfect world where nothing goes wrong. You know, you never not get what you want. Like you always can. It's always at your fingertips.
No, because I think it goes back to what I just got. I think failing in life is hands down the best thing that could happen to somebody. And I don't mean like failing as in where it's so detrimental that you're never able to rebound. But to have a taste of failure, like myself personally, I'm way more driven by the fear of failure than I am more the fear of success. I mean, I want to be successful. And at the end of the day, I hope one day to be successful. But I just think at the end of the day, I'm driven by that. So I wouldn't want, I think that keeps you even killed.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, I'm with him.
You don't sign it?
No, because part of life to me is challenges and, you know, just climbing the mountain, like trying and falling and not giving up, because it's not always going to be an easy day. And it's just not. And you guys are young guys, not, you know, seasoned veteran workforce people yet. And I mean, you'll understand there's going to be days where you're going to feel like, wow, like, you know, I have it way better than a lot of people, but today really sucks. Like, I've had a terrible day, whether it's health related, whether it's financial things, whether something goes wrong in your personal life. I mean, it is not always easy, but it does make you enjoy the good times a lot better and the things that you do have. And you have to look back and reflect on that stuff. But no, I would not trade it. I know it seems like that would be the easy way out. I'm not ever taking the easy way out in life. That's just the kind of person that I am.
No, and I agree with that, Matt. And here's the deal. Would it be nice if you're telling me life is rainbows and butterflies? No, but would it be nice to have some easier moments? I would maybe choose.
I'm trying to sign up for that.
Yeah, like different tiers.
Let me catch a break like every 6 months. Yeah, give me one little break.
It's like in a video,
I'd be cool with that.
In video game, you can turn your luck up like to like 90%.
Yeah, something like that.
Or like go from expert level down to beginner for like a little bit. I'm going to play on beginner for just a couple weeks. And then I'll be okay. And then you can put me back to expert and I can suck it.
So what's your guys' answer over there?
You said no.
I pretty much said the same exact thing you guys said. And to answer the specific question, if I go into the pod, then I'm leaving everything else behind.
No, like, but once you get in the pod, you don't know.
I don't know. But everybody that knows me, now I'm just out of their lives. So like for Jeff, for an example, if he were to go get in that pod, his real family doesn't have Jeff anymore.
But let's say you know, like, they're going to give, like, once you go into the pod.
Everybody's got.
What if your family unit went in?
Yeah.
No, that'd make it a little different. They put you in the pod and they
just
say,
wipe out this
even that. What if they said your whole family gets to go in the pod? Obviously, you're not going to be with them physically, but in this dream world, you see.
But it's fake. It's no different. None of it's real, and I don't like that.
I think.
I would have a really, listen,
I love challenges. I think that's what makes me.
I don't love challenges either.
I was going to say that's what makes me good. I'm not good at much, but I think time constraints. Sometimes when I mess things up, I think that's what kind of pushes.
Pressure makes people perform better sometimes.
And I think time.
I like it.
But it would be really hard for me to, because I like. I think I honestly like when everybody else is happy more than I like when I'm happy. I think I like that more
in
my life.
Jubber jumping, jubber
jump. And like that's just my default is I want everybody to be happy. So if in my world everybody was just happy all the time, I think
not real.
But I would know that though.
I think your dad's a lot like that, because your dad does the things he does for us. Granted. He has fun along the way, but like his follow-up on Sunday, I hope everybody had fun. He just doesn't say that to say that. He genuinely means, God, I hope to God everybody fucking had a blast yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's no different like you talk about. You go to your house or you do your dad doesn't sit the fuck down. Like he's making sure that everything's perfect and this and that.
I think that runs in our family too.
Yeah, it definitely does.
I mean, bringing the bugles out at 9:30 or whatever
But such a great quality though.
And
it is. It's such a great quality.
But I think that goes for everybody in here. I think everybody in here, I mean, every time we come over to your house, you're the same way. We came over and
basically
crashed your 4th of July party, and you didn't sit down the whole time. You were asking whether I needed a drink, whether I needed a seat, whether I need food, cigars.
I'll be honest, my family's a lot like that too. And I'll be honest, if you're brought up the right way, you always want guilty. I'm going to say I'm guilty.
Hey, that was a lesson in the Bible about welcoming people into your home. You're supposed to be a good host. Jesus said that was the way you should do it.
Because it is important.
Treat everybody like they're your friends.
Because you're right. Don't you want people, and I think your dad's a lot like that. You want people to walk away, and not that he gives a fuck about what people think, but you want people to go away feeling good and feeling like, you know what, man, Mark Delbrook, I'll tell you what a good fucking dude, man. Like, he made sure that everything was special that day. I mean, I don't know how the fucker does it, if you want the truth. Like, he runs on fumes. Like, I mean, even when I got that text at 5:58 that one, like, I mean, I'm like, dude, you just got done drinking for 36 hours.
Now more than ever with his football Fridays stuff.
Is there anything worse than going into a place where you don't feel welcome? No.
Oh, horrible.
Oh, like, they're just not a good host.
And you know it instantly, too. You do. You feel it.
How many times do you guys experience that? Because I'm trying to think of them.
Oh, I have. I've had a couple. I've had a couple.
Like, at people's houses?
Yeah.
But how'd you end up there if you weren't welcome?
Well,
just not maybe not welcome, but just like they're just
they're put out.
I know
there.
One that I'm not gonna bring up right now. We'll talk about it afterwards.
I mean, I feel like, again, it goes back to self awareness. Usually, if you show up, you know pretty quickly if they're like they're busy with something, they don't want people around. You're like, okay, I'm getting the hell out of here.
More from my experience, it would be when I was younger, like a little kid, and like you're too scared to ask for any like food or anything, and like, they're just not offering it. Like, I guess that could be an example.
Well, here, I got an example. We have what we do, and it's kind of cool. We have a family holiday party, and it's with it's a family that I have in Pittsburgh, and everybody takes their turn on having the party every year. Now we went to two parties. We do a summer party and a winter party. Well, one of my family, my cousin who's a female, they don't listen to this, so I'm good to go. And actually, if they were, I'd say the same fucking thing. But, She likes having it at her house.
Yeah.
Her husband detests it. So at the end of the day, like, and he's not a host, and he would not make you feel welcome when he comes in. And he was the dude, like, he's fucking running the sweeper. And it was, you know what I mean? It's kind of like the indicator, like, okay, I've had my fill. Time for you all to get the fuck out of here.
And you can sense that, too, when somebody's ready for you to leave. My dad will even do that too at some point in the night.
Well,
like,
again, self awareness. Like, at some point, like, when the guy's sitting there dozing off, like, you might want to leave.
Yes.
I felt that way, though, going to restaurants or bars before.
Yeah.
Where you have somebody that feels like you're like a intruding
bartender.
On. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when I check,
gone.
Please, see
exactly.
It. Exactly. I'm not fucking around with that.
Money. But yeah, I'm always of the persuasion of, like, we had the interns over. They came over to the dinner or the breakfast. And I always. One of them is my cousin, obviously, and she's been to my house multiple times. But the other one I've spoken to maybe four times in my life. But being able to tell a person, make yourself at home. Mm-hmm. If you need something, take whatever you want, have whatever you want. There should be, if you're having people at your house, there should be no problem with you being able to say that. Like, you don't have to ask. Now, granted, if you need to, like, if you want to take, like, a bottle of liquor, okay. But, like, if you need a drink, I shouldn't make you feel uncomfortable to the point you have to ask me over and over. Now, is that proper manners? Yeah. But I feel I always want to make somebody feel like you come to my house, it's your house for 6 hours or however long you're here. And sometimes, and we've been in this scenario where it doesn't exactly feel like that, but not to their fault, but just the way that it was.
Well, here, that is a great example, and we'll start wrapping this up, is obviously one of them is your cousin, but the other girl really doesn't know us at all.
Yeah.
And you are, and not making this a male or female thing, it's a male-driven event.
Male-dominant,
Yeah, male-dominant. And you have a girl that doesn't know any of us. 20
drunken males.
20 drunken dudes. we're starting off our thing at 8 o'clock in the morning doing a shot. Yeah. That, you know what, I would imagine that there isn't a lot of comfortableness with that. So for everybody, and I felt like the group did a really nice job with that too, on, you know, we appreciated them. I know I physically, I probably wore them out on telling them thank you as many times as I did on appreciate what you did, because they got up on their fucking Sunday too to come fucking take pictures of us idiots.
Yeah, and I said, I know that, I told them afterwards, I was like, I know, we're speaking of the golf, which is a horrendous display of golfing performance.
Two-time champion right here.
But I told them, I was like, I know. Which made me feel good. I said, I know this wasn't the most thrilling thing to watch as far as golf goes. And then she was like, that was the most entertaining thing.
I got the same thing too. Yeah. So much to be honestly for her to see, because I said too, I'm like, I'm just going to let you know, we got a fucking bunch of idiots with this group. She said, no, I'm having a great time.
Yeah. They came over and had some breakfast, but I want to thank them for doing that, number one. But it's always good to know that a person isn't wanting to leave immediately.
Mm-hmm. Like, they came up, when
is this over?
And they came up to me and said, hey, are we invited to the breakfast? And I think Chris was with me, and he said, that's not even in the question. Just come. Just follow the cars. But there's something about, and I think this is an overarching theme of this whole podcast, is just being a person that people want to be around, and being a person that when you're around others, you are welcoming,
yes,
accepting, accommodating to people. Yep. And at the end of the day, we're all humans that are doing the same exact thing on the same exact. We got one life with however many years, and you should do it to the best quality to your fellow man. And I think I think that it goes without saying.
I would say that's almost like the mission statement. Yeah, of,
a good
of this
summarization.
Just
their job.
Welcoming and all inclusive. We'll give anybody a chance and be hospitable to all.
I think we said that before. It's like, we'll give you a chance, though.
Like, yeah, I mean, if it's up to you, if you waste it or you don't like it, then that's, you know, if you come in and rob the house or come over and raid the buffet when we don't even know you're there.
Yeah.
Like, or not without asking. Yeah. That might be a little different.
Yeah,
but you know,
might rub the wrong way.
I mean, literally, your dad would never turn away anybody. None of us would.
I don't think anybody here would. No. And I think that is just a quality.
But that's,
that,
you know, that goes back to how we were all raised.
And you're going to feel bad, too, for people that don't get to experience that in their life. Like a person.
Don't you see that shock sometimes around people in our group?
Oh, my God.
Even if it's been guests, like professional guests and things. I think people are sometimes stunned that we're like, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because I can be an asshole with the best of them, but like, I feel like we are nice people. We are going to be genuinely nice and fair and welcoming. And I think that makes people like, wow, like these guys aren't like total dicks. Like I don't want to say they think that right away, but like you said, Jeff, sometimes it can be intimidating with a bunch of loudmouth guys and you know, not knowing who we are, but they realize like these guys really aren't that terrible.
It's just normal average Joe.
But to back to your point, it could have been one of those scenarios where, you know what, okay, I'm invited to go back. Okay, I'm a little hungry right now, so I'm going to go back. I'm going to grab a little just grub and see what's going on. And then not feeling comfortable and like, you know what, okay, it's time for me to leave. The girl, I mean, your cousin's going to stick around, obviously, longer. But even the other girl stuck around for a lot longer than I thought she was. And I thought that says a lot, too, because she felt comfortable. She was having a couple beers.
Yes.
She's probably sitting back going, my God, I can't believe these fucking idiots do what they do. But I just think, I'll be honest, I think that speaks volume as well to allude to your guys' point,
Tim. Yeah, I just, again, I like when people are happy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that people are happy. I know that everybody here is of the same demographic. I mean, when we have the Christmas parties here, you're always in, and we've had the scenarios where there are
people. We liven it up, I'll tell you that.
That you pull the ripcord on.
Oh, well, we've had party crashers.
Yeah.
Not necessarily at the Pine Room. We had that one kid, your neighbor, come just out of nowhere. Yeah. He soups like he's eating plates of food. He's filling it up like it was his last day.
He's taking him over to his dad.
He's feeding the whole family. And then we've only ever had one near physical altercation to find.
Yeah, that almost happened. Yeah, and then happened here was one, but those are rare, a few and far between, which hopefully you don't have to deal with much.
One more thing about that. I still think, and I am going to throw up us one time. Most of the time when you get a group of dudes together week in and week out, and you throw in alcohol, and you throw in gambling, you throw in people winning money, you throw in people losing money.
Sports.
You throw in people and winners and losers. You throw in people maybe had a bad week. Whatever the dynamic is, for us to be able to walk and be able to have the fun that we do, and there hasn't been any riffraff. I mean, I know the one situation that I wasn't even there for.
Which was kind of an extenuating situation.
Yeah, and
that,
it wasn't even like one of our regular group of guys.
It was a different circumstance. I don't even remember.
Plus, that was in the infancy of the whole thing.
And that is true. But I think it's truly impressive that happens. I really do. Because most people that have known each other their whole lives, not granted you guys have known each other longer because you guys are family, but people that have known each other for a long time can't even do that.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll be honest with you once again. I love you all, fuckers. Yeah. Love you all.
If by chance you're ever invited up to to hang out with this group, I hope that you
don't mess it up.
Yeah,
don't fuck it up. You won't be asked back, fuckers.
You get one chance,
and that's
you don't
it.
Nail it. It's over for
that's
you.
That's it. There better be an apology or a plate of food or something. But
I'm thinking about that kid. He goes back over to his house, and he's like, "Hey, it's time for dinner, Johnny." He's like, "No, I'm just eat a whole bunch of
I'm fucking stuffed.
Do me a favor. Go grab me a plate.
Feed your brother.
There's six plates in the fridge.
Here's the deal. We don't need it tonight, but get it for tomorrow. So you can have that for lunch.
Hey, I got a big day tomorrow. Come on, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All right. All right.
Oh, this is me.
You start us in.
Hey, for the Pine Room Podcast and the Pine Room Studios, episode 125 for Jubber Jub and the Funky Bunch, Tyler Cooley, and Matthew Watson. This is a guy by the name of Jeff Doyle. Thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody's support. Until the next time at the Pine Room.